This is the Cross Conference cast for January 10th, 2011, Little Nuggets of Gold. In this episode, we discuss all the painful issues surrounding WPS and the U.S. Women's National Team, and we say goodbye to some retiring favorite players. For show notes on this episode, please visit crossconference.com. If you enjoy our show, please consider rating us in iTunes. It's a nice way to help new listeners find us.
And I'm Ruth.
And we are back. It's been a long break, a month, I think.
Yes.
Has it been over a month, at least, since we've recorded together a real episode? The last episode was really big, so I hope everybody enjoyed that. But we're back now. We're serious and we're getting down to business. We have a lot to talk about. And I don't think any of it's happy.
Nope, none of it.
But we are going to, I'm doing this thing where I am trying to stay positive, accentuate the positive.
And it's the middle of the day. Well, it's the middle of the day here. It's not the middle of the day there.
Yeah.
So it's, neither of us drinking.
Yeah. So we're very sober.
It's, very sober. Very caffeinated. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I mean, we have a lot to talk about. The WPS, some folks retired, and the U.S. Women's National Team is back training, getting ready for some exciting stuff to happen.
Hitting the rewind button. Doing the time warp.
Oh, boy. But let's start with the WPS. Since we last recorded, my preferred team, Chicago, decided to suspend operations. This is old news, and now it's really hard for me to even remember that they existed because I'm so good at repressing the things that hurt. So it's like they weren't even there. It's hard to even remember the past 2 years of the league because it's so painful. It's incredibly surprising, you know, that Chicago, of all the teams, suspends. They didn't fold, I guess. I suppose there's still people in place. I don't know. Like, in case there's an emergency and they have to restart. I don't know. But
it's the Jesus team.
They're not gonna play again. For this year. This year being 2011. And that totally sucks. And it's only because they couldn't find, sponsors or investors for the rest of the year. They could have started, but, it wasn't clear that they could have kept going throughout the year, which is something the WPS put in place due to St. Louis, folding in the middle of last year. Doesn't that feel like it was like 5 years ago? It feels like super ancient history. But the message that they have is they gave was that they fully intend to be back for the next year but what I really heard from that was, I guess we'll be here if you guys are here or, you know, I'll go if you guys go, but if you don't go, I won't go, sort of this sort of thing. Because every indication coming from the sleep, everything seems like this is the last year. This is it. Like, there hasn't been a good sign for me, at least. Maybe I'm just super pessimistic, but do you see any positive signs?
I was gonna say that you're way more doom and gloom about this than I am, but I'm not. I don't know. I'm not really committed one way or another.
It doesn't matter as much. I guess it
doesn't. I mean, you really have to protect your heart and and save it for you know, the things that really matter. And I feel like as fans, you know, WPS hasn't intentionally jerked us around, but you know, it kind of has. And you know, if you're following WPS, and on top of that, you've got the World Cup, there's only going to be one group of fans that's going to be happy at the end of the summer. And that's the fans of the German national team. So,
oh, boy.
So, I'm looking forward to August preseason with the college teams.
It's not even the middle of January. You can't start talking about August.
Are you kidding? I was talking about August at the end of December. I was like, oh man, I'm raring and ready to go. Want to go to the West Coast and see Portland, see Santa Clara.
Well, yeah. But we don't have that on the agenda because college season is over. But Chicago joining LA Soul, the St. Louis Athletica and FC Gold Pride in the big women's league in the sky, I guess.
and the Washington Freedom.
And the Washington Freedom in name. The Washington Freedom is dead. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I guess the player movement, the only ones that I've really seen were Megan Rapinoe to Philadelphia, which I guess I'm okay with. there are worse teams she could have joined. I was hoping she wouldn't go to Boston, so that at least, you know, we have that.
Lucky you.
And Elo Massar to whatever DC is now.
Right.
And I guess time will tell about the others, since there wasn't a real formal draft for the new team, the Western New York Buffalo Wing Flash. And I wonder if that name is supposed to be ironic. Flash. Since it will probably be only around for a year.
and Buffalo, since they're supposed to play in Rochester.
And Rochester. I don't know what they were really called, right? Whether they're Western New York, right? But they're properly in the state of New York, so they got that going for them.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. We'll
their see. Roster looks nice.
Does it?
Yes, it looks very nice. It looks looks a little bit like FC Gold Prides did last year, or Phillies. Like it looks like a good, strong team with some chemistry there. It's definitely not in Atlanta. So
Atlanta. Oh, I guess we can add that to Atlanta. James Galanis. Is that Galanis? He's the coach now, and when he joined them for what I think was just supposed to be, I don't know, in name, I wondered aloud if Carly Lloyd was going to join Atlanta, and she did, so that wasn't too hard to guess. And now I'm looking at their roster, and it does look kind of, oh, wait, no, this is the old roster. I don't know who these people are. do they really have Veronica Bouquette?
I don't.
Anymore? Or is that they just used to have her?
I think they used to have her.
I can't tell. Anyway, they've got Whitney Ingen. Good for them.
they've got Callie Fountain. They picked up, I want to say they picked up Becky Edwards, which would make me really happy. And they're going to get Alex Morgan, which, okay, whatever. So
let's see. So there I guess that's a positive sign. We have an expansion team. Slightly expanded the New York area. a little bit bloated over there. But suspending operations of Chicago, that means WPS is exclusively East Coast. It's good that it's still alive. You know, the dreams of young girls are still alive. but only on the East Coast. So if their dreams include a temperate climate, then, you know, keep dreaming, girls.
Hey, it's not so bad here.
Sure.
We haven't had snow this winter except for, I guess, a couple days ago.
I guess.
It's those D.C. Florida kids that gotta worry.
Yeah, the D.C. Florida thing. Okay, so D.C. is, I guess, becoming Magic Jack SC, which I just... As someone, I didn't love the Washington Freedom in name or as a team, but I became close to them since I lived there. And, like, you know, I had some affection. They were in, you know, the W League. And
that was special. That was really special.
It was special. They kept some of the players from there. And I don't know, it just seemed like so... Not essential, but it's such a, I don't know, it just became part of DC soccer, was having that Washington Freedom.
I was trying to explain this to a non-women's soccer fan the other day, and, you know, and it's like, this is one of those teams that, you know, continued playing after WUSA folded. It was Mia Hamm's team, it was Abby Wambach's team. And, you know, they went on and they continue to do well in W League. And they've actually, I mean, they've been a consistently consistently mediocre team in WPS. But, you know, they would have had a 10-year anniversary this year. And now they won't.
That just just really bums me out as someone, like, I want to go back to DC, but it's like, oh, it's something else now. And they're going to play some of their games in Florida, and who knows, they might just move to Florida, become like one of those basketball teams. They do that. They move and stuff. Well, I guess they do that in MLS too. So I guess this is a particularly American case of sporting things happening. Boy. I don't know. I'm trying to find like some nugget of sparkly gold in here. But
I hate those arguments that are like, at least the team still exists. What team? No, this is not a team that still exists. This is bullshit.
Yeah, I want to know what I'd like. This is one of the rare times where I want to know what Abby Wambach thinks.
I want Seeger to ask her what she thinks.
It's awful. I'm kind of curious, and I don't want to hear like her usual talking points. I'm curious to know what are your emotions, Abby Wambach? Give us a call. Our number's 202-657. Okay.
Well, and they've released players. They have a new GM, Brianna Scurry. They haven't announced a head coach yet. They're completely disorganized. Their owner comes across as a real jerk in interviews with the media. I don't know. I feel bad for anyone that has to play in D.C., Florida.
It hurts. Yeah, it's just awkward, and who knows? The owner wants to get Marta, but apparently she's with Santos again, still? I don't know.
Marta Roulette.
And who knows if she's coming back. So we'll have the WPS looking nothing like, you know, what it did at the start without the best player in the world, which was what they were boasting for the first 2 years. And it's hard. Like, I'm going to step back from the podcaster blogger persona and try to talk as a fan right here, right now.
Oh, good luck.
Like,
let's hear this.
But it's like, I'm trying to be interested in a team, or I think being interested in just the sport in general is kind of silly, but having a team to support is important, and or even having the league to support is important. But I have no idea who the WPS is, or what it is, or who's involved, or what they want, or it's really confusing to me, the changes and the like, just, you know, as someone who tries to be a fan sometimes, it's like, if you try to, you know, hang a little bit of identity on the Washington Freedom, and they become Magic Jack SC, and then they play some of their games in Florida. If you're trying to be a fan of, you know, any game, or any, sorry, if you're trying to be a fan of any team, you know, west of Indiana, you know, you're like, good luck, that's gone.
There's a lot of inconsistency. Like, there's not a lot of consistency in the rosters, and, you know, there's that constant signing and cutting and
developing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just, I mean, there is some sense of character to the teams, as in which team is going to hurt you the most. But other than that, it's just, I don't know. That's why I like the college game, because I feel like there's, you know, there's that stability, there's that identity, there's, you can invest because you know what you're investing in.
Right. I think they sort of had that with the WPS, sort of had that with like Boston and DC, not only because they came from the WUSA. I mean, they did, but they sort of kept a very consistent identity, and you know, the players were fairly stable. They played, you know, an easily identifiable, you know, brand of soccer. But now I just have no idea as a fan. Like, what am I? You know, you have to give me something. Give me something, yeah, to believe in.
Like, you lose DC, and you've got Boston picking up Kelly O'Hara, which, I mean, I can understand that, except, I mean, I can understand that for any team except Boston. I can't understand that for Boston. It doesn't. WPS is like this weird drug trip.
It's the totally flaky friend you had who had so much potential, but then like totally blew it on like just partying. And
it's the kid that could have been a really great artist, but their parents pushed them into science, and then they just like fell apart and turned into this weird robot thing that you just don't recognize anymore.
Sure. But we'll still have a draft later this month.
A closed draft.
I guess the players aren't coming, so they don't have to dress up. Maybe they'll Skype in. They'll Skype into the draft.
Yeah. Since most of them are either with the national team or the U23s.
Mm-hmm. And one assumes that Alex Morgan will be the number one pick. Or Kristen Press. Is she graduating?
Yeah, but... Okay. Alex Morgan's going to be the number one pick. Western New York pretty much already said that.
Yeah.
All they have to do is write it down. Mm-hmm. And second pick goes to Philly, I think. And they're looking at Kristen Press or a local kid whose name I am not remembering right now. Because I'm terrible. It's not Klingenberg.
It's okay.
It doesn't matter. It's the draft.
I guess I would not. It wouldn't make sense for those two to stay. But I feel like that there might be surprises as to who would go overseas. Because we talked to Keelan, and she was interested in maybe skipping the WPS and heading to Germany or Sweden or elsewhere. I don't know that she's going to do that. We don't have any inside information. I would be sad to not to not be able to see Keelan like ever.
But you have to wonder what it means that they that WPS extended the draft sign up for graduating seniors to submit their names for this year's draft.
Huh, did they? I guess I missed that when I was taking my break. That's very interesting.
That's very telling.
Yeah, that. So either they're saying, oh, seniors are a little lazy, or we need some more players, which I don't understand why they would need to do that when they didn't they increase the number of internationals you were allowed to have?
They increased the number of internationals and they decreased the number of teams. So,
yeah, I mean, and there's plenty of people who are have already graduated from college hanging out there.
And not in developmental roles because they can't even get that.
Yeah, there's not. I mean, I don't see the incentive to pick WPS over Germany or Sweden.
Or Australia. Or England. Isn't England starting up this year?
Oh, yeah. I don't.
I expect they'll actually use theirs to develop.
The English players?
Yeah, the English players, though. Yeah. You know, unlike us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. I think it'll be a little bit surprising to see who decides to just skip the WPS. I mean, there's plenty of people who are just sort of not even going pro. I think I was going to say Jessica Tsao, but she's going into like medical school or to I don't know, join the Justice League of America or something. But
I thought it was funny that the WPS had the speculation thing they do ahead of time of the top five picks in each position, and they keep picking players that aren't going to declare for the draft, like the Army goalkeeper.
Oh yeah.
And there was another one that I had seen. I don't remember who. It's just like, you know. We are really hard up for players here, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I think America, lots of people say it, that, you know, it has the greatest, percentage of, girls playing and the biggest pool of talent. It's just...
It doesn't want to develop the new talent.
Right.
And right. The kids are starting to see that.
Mm-hmm. But that's
that's a U.S. problem.
That's a U.S. problem. I think we'll see. We'll do some coverage after the draft. I don't have any like I said, as I can't say who I would want to see and go where, because I don't really have a team that I'm supporting. Yeah, my favorite player's in Philadelphia, but it's like, at this point, I just don't, what does that mean?
I feel kind of cynical saying this, but I kind of, like, there are certain players that I hope don't get drafted and have the opportunity to go play somewhere else, because this league's just going to hurt people. But that's really cynical, and I'm not being cynical today.
On that note, let's take a little break and we'll come back and talk about some other news. And we're back. I am Joan.
And I'm Ruth.
And we had some news this past week of some retirements. First off, Cara Lang retired. She's only 24, but she retired from, I guess, All Soccer International Club.
All Soccer.
All Soccer. She's going to be a yoga teacher now.
Yoga and surf.
Yoga and surf. She had some knee problems while at UCLA, and I guess she just wasn't able to recover properly, and so she's gonna, I guess, put soccer sort of behind her, and it's really sad for me. I mean, I'm not a Cara Lang fan. Let's just get that out there. She was never my favorite player. And part of that was the UCLA thing, but most of it wasn't. It's just, I don't know. It wasn't like a Carrie Hank sort of thing, but it wasn't far from that either.
except Cara was very devoted to doing anything for Canada.
Yeah, that is true. She loved playing for Canada. That's nice to see. She was always, to me, destined to be like a huge superstar.
And then she went to UCLA.
And that turned out to be not the best decision for her, I guess. I won't say UCLA caused her knee problems, but because they didn't. I would rather hear you talk about Cara Lang.
Oh, Cara Lang.
You do have to talk about her, not just say her name over and over again.
I don't know. Oh, where to even start? I mean, she is that player that made me pay attention to the Canadian national team, that like actually got me paying attention to teams outside the US. I also, you know, probably didn't like her much at first. Okay. I did not like her much at first. And eventually I did warm up to her. I mean, I started to see her playing with the Vancouver Whitecaps. And then I actually saw her play in person with the Vancouver Whitecaps, and it was 2005, and it was really great. It was really amazing. Just to see that personality on the field, and to see what she was capable of even before college. Pretty much from then on, I was pretty locked into her, and I've continued to follow the Canadian national team even when she's injured, the UCLA thing was ill-advised. We got to see her cry at a lot of college cups, probably four or five. Something like that. Four. But, it just, it's so sad because she is a player that had a whole lot of potential, and then she got injured and never quite made it back. And you could see the change in her style of play. You could see the coaches putting her in other positions and trying to see where they could fit her in now. And then there was the transition from Pellerud to Marachi with the Canadian national team, and it just it's really heartbreaking. Like, Cara Lang could have gone so far, and she did go really far, but she like could have gone farther, so much farther.
Yeah, she had a lot going for her personally. I mean, she was a very talented athlete. She's pretty, it didn't, that would certainly, that was going to work for her, you know?
Yeah.
But I think like her situations were never very positive. They didn't really help her out. Starting out her career, on the national team under Pellerud didn't help. He proved himself to be pretty clueless about what to do with the immense talent he had on that team. And then going to UCLA, was the best choice. Maybe it was the best choice for her personally. I don't know her as a person, so maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know as a player that was, the best school she could have gone to. There are worse schools certainly, but, but I don't know that necessarily helped her career wise. And it's really sad to see that decision, the decision to retire, what in a way was made for her rather than, her getting to make the decision, later on in her career.
But unfortunately it's totally understandable, and I'm glad she made the decision not to keep playing, you know, to the even to the World Cup, because it would have caused her so many health problems down the road. It's nice that she at least had enough choice to keep her health rather than people that have retired or been forced to retire because their health was that bad at that point. Just, it's sad because, I mean, Canada is finally really coming into their own, and a lot of that, you know, a lot of their success she's played a part, definitely played a part in it.
Yeah, she did. There was another retirement, I think the very next day.
No, it was the same day. They announced Kara's the day before, and then the day of, suddenly everyone was talking about Christine Lilly.
Christine Lilly retired.
Finally.
I'm not going to say that. She retired at the age of 39. I'll talk a little bit as a fan. I'm doing that a lot today. Christine Lilly was my favorite player. For a very long time, and deservedly so. This wasn't like a favoritism, boy, I just love her personality, blah, 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 sort of thing. I was a fan of her game. I was a fan of the work that she did, and really continued to do, on the field. Her sort of behavior in 2007 kind of soured that for me. And at the time, I was already transitioning to Megan Rapinoe as my favorite player, which probably happened in 2005. So, I mean, it was time. I don't know that I'm surprised about this retirement. I will say I wish it had happened earlier, not 6 months before the World Cup. But Christine Lilly is one of maybe the last, group of people who get to make that decision on their own of when they retire. Some of her colleagues were not so lucky, but some did make the decision to retire earlier. Nothing can really take away her accomplishments, you know. I'm not going to sit here and talk about, you know, how old she is and how long she hung on. I mean, it was clear that she worked for every roster she was on. And in some ways it is a little bit sad to see her go, because it's sad to see, you know, one of your favorite players, you know, leave the game, whenever that happens. It doesn't matter if it, you know, happens years after you expect or years before you expect that to happen. It's always sad. But it's good to see that she retired uninjured. She's still healthy. And she has a family. So it's really good for her. I guess part of the sadness is I'm wondering if she left the game in a better place than when Well, I guess then when she found it, yes, it is better. But I think the other 91ers left it a little bit better than it is now. So it's gotten a little bit they've taken several steps back, and that from where they were. And it's not, I don't think it's Christine Lilly's fault. The fault belongs to a lot of people, but, it's sad to say to see that she didn't leave the game as good as she could have, as good as it could have been when she left. All the same, she's incredibly accomplished, you know. She's done a lot for the game in this country, and a lot for women's soccer in general. And definitely, I definitely wish her all the best. I don't know that you have much to say about Christine Lilly.
not really. I mean, for me, the big deal was Carl Lang. It's really sad to see a player leave so young. Christine Lilly had a chance to really go to her full potential. She started playing less than a year after Carl Lang was born. So I mean, she had all that time to really contribute and develop and just become the legacy that she is now. And, it's great to celebrate a career like that. It's definitely a different feeling than I have with Kara.
Oh yeah, because Christine Lilly has really accomplished everything a player can accomplish. In her career, you know, she's won gold medals, won World Cups, has the caps record, which will never be broken, ever.
No.
She's been the youngest and the oldest to play for the women's national team. And Carl Lang, I feel, could have been maybe one of those record-setting players for Canada. So maybe she wasn't going to score as much as Christine Sinclair, but I don't know. There were times when she was younger that Carl Lang really struck fear in the heart of opponents, and it's sad to know that's not going to happen again.
Just so that we don't have to end this segment on such a downer, we complain a lot about the issues with development in the youth national team system right now. And, but you know, just days after Christine Lilly retires, one of the new kids comes in, Kelly O'Hara comes in, and they do the beep test and she beats Christine Lilly. The record that Christine Lilly had set, last year before, by a good margin too. So, you know, it speaks well of the kids. We've got something to look forward to, some bright sides.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's all bright, really. I mean, as much as I want to end everything on the most depressing note ever.
Something to look forward to.
All right, let's take a little break and we'll come back and talk about the women's national team. Tell you how you can live your life, but don't forget it's your right to do whatever you like, 'cause they might try to tell you how you can live your life, but don't forget it's your right And we're back. I am Joan.
And I'm Ruth.
And there's been some movement in the world of the U.S. Women's National Team. Last week, U.S. Soccer announced the creation of two positions for the Women's National Team, of the Women's National Team program, Technical Director and Development Director, designed to work with the youth. And while these are positive things, that's a positive change that these positions are created for the U.S. Women's National Team program. The people who filled the positions were probably the two names that we least wanted to see in these positions. Like, technical director announced was April Heinrichs, former U.S. Women's National Team player and head coach. And development director was named to be Jillian Ellis, former head coach of UCLA.
A position and I now don't know, occupied by Mr. Tarpley.
Yes, by B.J. Snow is now the head coach of UCLA. I don't know if U.S. Soccer was participating in Irony Thursdays or what was going on, but I think fans would have been happier if they were those two positions were filled by people they'd never even heard of. Like, I'm looking at what I wrote down here. Jill Ellis, in parentheses, development director, and I am made speechless. Please, Ruth, if you have. Do you have anything to add to this? Like, other than just...
Well, someone made the good point when I first mentioned this, that she is a good talent scout.
Well, it doesn't say talent scout director, does it? It says development director. I'm sorry, but continue.
Well... I guess one thing that we don't have written down is that there's a possibility that these two will still be filling in some coaching roles while transitions are made. Which
even better.
And Greg Ryan is going to be in charge of goalkeeping directing.
Oh, doesn't even surprise me in the least. No, this is unbelievable. I mean, I know those two have been hanging around the program, but especially April Heinrichs with regards to coaching. She's heavily involved in the U.S. soccer coaching world, which, I mean, it's good she's worked her way up and... obviously had some skills in coaching. I won't say that her tenure was the best, especially at the end with the gold medal. It was hard to watch that in 2004. Some people have accused her of pushing out some of the more personality players like Tiffany Milbert and Shannon McMillan, who are two players I love, but I think Shannon McMillan had some injuries that she wasn't recovering from as well as she needed to be. I agree about the Tiffany Milbert thing. She was, I think, though Tiffany Milbert did have some. So I think a knee problem that just went completely unaddressed for several years. But April Heinrichs also made some curious decisions in 2003, which that was going to be a hard one to win anyway with Germany. But I think the U.S. could have done better. It was confusing to me. But she's not head coach now. Pia Soontag is head coach. So that's besides the point. But I don't know. I keep looking at it and I'm just like, okay. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, not having those positions is worse, I guess, maybe than having those two fill those positions. Development director. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with this?
I'd rather see Tony DiCicco there.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
And that's saying something.
yeah, that for you. Yeah, that is definitely saying something. I mean, at least the development won't be ironic. Like, maybe there won't be development in a way that everybody loves, but it's gonna be development. You know? I don't understand it, but let's move on. The women's national team is in training camp right now for the Four Nations tournament. We have some injured players back. There are some people who weren't injured. Tobin Heath and Hope Solo. They're both not 100%, but they're training. We lost Jillian Loyden to a broken hand. It's sad. But she didn't have a team to play on anyway. So, no.
Sucks to be you, Jill Loyden.
That's kind of lame. She seems like such a nice girl with strange hair choices lately, sweetie. I don't know if you've been hanging out with Joanna Loman, but
Oh, you're kidding me.
it looks like it. It looks like it. Check out her Twitter. Check out her Twitter.
Oh,
It
you'll
looks
have to
like.
link me. Link me, link me.
Well, I'll link you afterwards.
Oh, goodness. I can't wait to get back to the hair segment of this podcast.
There we go. There's something positive.
Kelly O'Hara's hair
We've
is awesome.
she always looks cute. She looks cute as a button. And there's lots of good new faces that are it's great to see. Jordan Angeli, Kelly O'Hara,
Yay!
who else?
Alyssa Nair's still in there.
Nair.
Yeah. What a sweetie. Alex Morgan.
Yeah, all these really
Oh,
let's
Christy
see.
Mewis.
Mewis. Yes.
That's a very interesting one. And I guess I'm just not going to complain about that because I'm glad there are kids in camp.
Yeah, there's a lot of I mean, it's real positive to see these young names, but of course, they're only being called up because, some of the older veterans are being given a break. Supposedly. And we'll just be called up anyway.
Yeah.
Which is sure, I guess. It happens in the men's national team from time to time. So we'll just have to learn to live with it. And I think it's so that's I don't know. I hope the younger the folks do well. I'm sure they will. And hopefully we get to see a lot of them in the Four Nations tournament. And by see, I mean read match tracker updates.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Get some grainy photos. We're good.
Yeah. The U-23s are training with Bill Irwin. He picked some kids, I guess, that were not going to be picked up by the full national team.
Kristen Press, Melissa Henderson, you know.
Just who
the
cares
usual
about them?
suspects.
The Mack Herman Trophy winner, sure, whatever.
And the Honda Award winner.
Honda Award winner.
Yeah.
Who won the Lowe's? Oh, wait, no, we did find out who won the Lowe's Award. That was during the.
Yeah, it
I
was
don't care.
someone. Oh, it was a heel. No, that wasn't the Lowe's. Was it
No.
the Lowe's? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Not
It was
important.
so long ago. But yeah. Okay, so women's national team news. Whatever. In the, I guess what?
Did you have more on the U-23s?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, supposedly the U-20s are coming back into camp at some point, but I can't find a good write-up on it anywhere. Randy Waldron mentioned on Twitter that Mandy Laddish has been called in for that, which is really nice. Really good to see. It's good to see that the U-20s are supposedly getting back together soon. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, sure. Depends on who the coach is, though.
Well, we didn't know at the time, you know.
Yeah.
We'll
There's
see.
so much we don't know.
That's
But we
because
do
nobody
know
talks to us.
that just now, we're terrible people. But we do know that Marta has won the World Player of the Year award once again, fifth year straight.
Yay!
Terrific.
FC Gold Prize.
Came out of nowhere. real underdog. I think she's going to be the only one who will ever do that. That's my prediction for the next 20 years. but hopefully that, she must have just won it on the FC Gold Pride merit, because it's not like Brazil played a whole lot this year, which is good. She's getting recognized for playing in this league. So
while there is a league.
Yeah, but being recognized for playing for a team that doesn't exist anymore.
Yay.
Which, I mean, part of me can relate to that, because I was born in a town that doesn't exist anymore. So,
really?
Yes. Or a military installation, I should say, that is no longer in operation or existence. So, anyway, Marta and I have something in common. Not really, but...
Do you both speak Portuguese?
Sure.
You both love Brazil and dancing.
We do.
Neither of you has a gold medal.
That's true. Yeah. Anyway, the next time we record will probably be after the draft, right?
I don't know. I guess so.
I don't know. Well, we'll have, I think we'll have some interviews before then. And let's close out this episode. And, we're going to try to be more positive next week.
Yeah, that's our New Year's resolution, is to have better weeks than the first week of January was.
Yes. All right. See you next time. Bye.
Bye. Champion Pistons, undebatable, flesh is biodegradable, people ego deflatable, see no evil and play the role. I'm Peter Gabriel with a sledgehammer, blood standards, red handed, set standards, dedicated, a dealer proof, Abel Miracle, Fanny Lou Hamer, Marla Riggs, Nina, and Fred Hampton. Yeah. There goes the neighborhood like Fred Sanford next door to Ned Flanders. These cats pop off at the mouth like over Redenbacher. My lyrics open up the portal, see your seven chakras, helicopter circle, and watch the exchange of Betty Crocker. So poppers and Benton drama, prevent it, remember not for smash. Various on the roadblocks. You don't get it, you do you? The struggle, don't stop it, don't quit. Worldwide, winning with style and globetrotters. Don't try to sit home if you stuck in time or broke watch. Smash the walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake. Yeah, you don't pay attention, man. That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best. You don't pay attention. Why your respect's the size of your attention span. It's fresh air when I'm speaking to y'all. Sometimes it falls upon deaf ears like I'm speaking to walls. I ain't